The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
I'm delighted to say that I have been joined by the old bean himself, John Kelleher, producer, former director of classification, who picks out all the general movies on release and gives us critical analysis. Well, that's what it says here in this brief of it. He gives us a rating and the stuff he likes and there's other stuff he doesn't like. And Sue Murphy, who has gone top of the class, usually gets a punishment beating for a thing because she said you should watch Whistleblower, the Maurice McCabe story, on Monday and Tuesday night. And we got a good 15 minutes out of it each programme between John McGuinness today and Katie Cannon yesterday. It was really, really powerful. If you haven't watched it, do watch it. And I have to say the concluding series of Blood took place and it had a complete twist in
the
drama. Oh my God, I won't give you a spoiler.
No.
But it was totally unbelievable what happened in terms of it and actually enhanced the entire series. Let's go to John's first movie. Oh, for heaven's sake, where do you get this? Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, a second film in the J.K. Rowling post-Harry Potter era. Ivan losing the will to live here. What's this about?
You've heard of J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, have you?
Yeah. Oh, the only thing nice I can say about Harry Potter is that Owen O'Brien with his glasses reminds me of Harry Potter. That's the only bit of interest I have in Harry Potter. I've never been to a film. I've never read a book. I think it's all unbelievable, but talk to me.
Well, I wondered if you'd be like a Newt Scamander fan or a Gellert Grindelwald fan. I think it's probably...
Do we need to take an ad break?
This is a big release.
All right.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. It's certainly not. I know it's not your cup of tea, in fairness. But it's more of the same. It's a second film in this franchise. And I saw it last week in the IMAX, which of course helped because you really get the visuals and the sound, and it's okay. Like there's lots and lots and lots of magic, which is what it's all about. They're wizards, but it's not that magical, at least not in my book. It's sort of some of the CGI I didn't think was fantastic. There's far too much plot, there's too many characters. It's kind of stuffed to the gills with stuff.
But if you're a fan of J.K. Rowling and Harry, you love it?
I think you probably will, yeah, because you just go to see these characters that you kind of love so much. But I mean, it's like Johnny Depp is Gellert Grindelwald, and Eddie Redmayne, who now looks like, in the first film he looked about 14, now he looks about 12. And I don't particularly like him as an actor, so I was kind of biased. I was up for The Dark Wizard, which is Johnny Depp. There's an Irish actress, Alwyn Ferreira, a very distinctive actor, and she's terrific. She's got a relatively smallish part, but important part. And there's a couple of other actors who are in the original one as well. Too much stuff, too many pyrotechnics, as we say in the business.
Some people like that.
Some people do, and I think that, yeah, I'm just out of step on this probably. Chock full of visuals.
Okay. Did you like the first one, though?
Not that much.
See, the first one was better. I thought the first one was
better. Sue likes this. Have you seen this?
I haven't seen the second one. I saw the first one. I loved it.
Well, it's better than the second, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you like about it?
I just think if you're going to go to a cinema and you want an experience where it's going to take you out of the world that you're, you know,
out
your day to day life.
Yeah.
It's a good film for that. And I think it's just a bit magical and it was a nice story.
Okay.
Nice characters.
Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald gets a rating of out of 5.
3.
Okay, not bad. Not bad. Which brings us to our first TV pick, which is a 6-part television drama on RTE1, 10:35, Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it comes on after prime time. It's called Press.
Yes.
And it features two newspapers and it's set in Britain, is it?
It's set in Britain. It was actually on BBC in September. So if you missed it then, because the reviews for it have been very good, it's now on RTE now. And it was one of those series that didn't really get a lot of marketing behind it. But anyway, it revolves around the Herald and the Post, which are two competing newspapers. And
set in where? Birmingham or somewhere like that?
Set in London.
London.
Yes. So it's modern day London, isn't it? Yeah. So the main character is Charlotte Riley, who they follow. Now, just to say as well, this is written by the same writer as Dr. Foster, so if you like that series, you will like this. Charlotte Riley is the main character, and she plays the deputy news editor in the newspaper, and it follows her life and then all of the people that figure into that life that work with her, but essentially how her life is a falling apart because she's given up everything to be a journalist. And then The Post on the other side is a kind of a thriving populist tabloid that are doing really well over scandalising every news headline and the people that work for them. It looks really, really good. I've seen a little bit of it because I have it recorded on the player from when it was on BBC, but I'm the high expectations in this because Dr. Foster was very good. The only thing I will say is there's a load of journalists gone giving out about it that it doesn't seem realistic. I think you have to suspend all that stuff when you're watching it.
So the two newspapers, the Herald and the Post, are covering the same stories.
Yes, so it's all
one from a tabloid angle and one from a broadsheet.
Exactly, and they're chasing down the same people all the time, and it's how they treat their headlines, how they treat their front pages.
Is it a bit journalisty, anarchy?
No, it isn't.
Well, it's more about the stories they cover.
Exactly. And it seems to be more of a kind of, you know, an expectation of how this runs as opposed to being a true to life kind of look at journalism.
Before I come on to John's second movie pick, which is called The Grinch, Exhibit A, text for John from Mark in Kildare. I watched Widows last Friday as recommended by John. That's 2 hours I will never get back. Silly plot, cheesy acting. I nearly walked out.
I loved it.
I have an ally, Mark. I'm sorry. Her name is Sue, and she loved it.
I went on John's recommendation and I thought it was great.
Okay, 53106 if anyone else wants to produce any more exhibits. Tell us about The Grinch.
Well, The Grinch could be called the Ivan because the Grinch is a grump.
Okay, is it animation?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
that's two down today already. It's animated. The best thing about it, and it's quite good, the best thing about it is that Benedict
Make Brexit sound interesting.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, plays he's good. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, and he plays with the full.
There was some science fella he played, didn't he? He was very good. Or the war film, the one with the gay
yes,
guy.
Yes, exactly.
Remember that?
Yeah, the code breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And he was excellent in that. And he's just, you know, top class. He's a really first class actor. But he's in this, he plays the Grinch, but he plays it with an American accent. A very good, I thought, American accent. This is from the same people who gave us Despicable Me, which is one of the greatest, in my book, animations of all time. The tagline you'd like is, it's never too early to be annoyed by Christmas.
Okay.
And the Grinch is a grump who doesn't, he lives on the outskirts of this town, which is getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And they're making a lot of noise. They're going to make three times as much this year. So he decides that he's going to scotch Christmas. He's going to steal it. So he comes down as kind of Santa to disrupt the townspeople's Christmas. And a young girl is kind of plotting to make pals with Santa, to thank him for being a good fellow in her book. So their stories kind of intersect as Christmas approaches. But it's fast moving, it's bright, it's quite funny, and it's certainly heartwarming and visually appealing.
Out of five?
I would be inclined to give it three and a bit, three and a quarter.
All right. Let's move on to something I think I will like. Netflix are releasing on Friday a dramatic series in relation to the drugs crime issue South America, Mexico. It's called Narcos Mexico. Tell us about it, Sue.
So the first season of Narcos was 1-3 was about Colombia, and it focused on Pablo Escobar. You don't have to have seen that series to watch this series. It's a completely new series. It's based on the drug war in Mexico in the 1980s, and it features Felix Gallardo. Me and John were trying to pronounce his name outside, but I think I got it right. And the tragic events that unfolded after an American DEA agent came in to basically find him and take down his empire. So he was somebody that took advantage of a small couple of drugs overlords, and he came in and he just takes over the empire. So it's all about the cat and mouse between him and the detective and who's going to win that. The detective moves his pregnant wife down to Mexico and discovers he doesn't really have any backing because this guy controls all the cops and everything, and how the hell is he going to catch him? And it's just, it looks really great. Like, it looks really slick. There's a great cast. Michael Pena is the guy who plays the detective. He's a brilliant actor. It just looks really, really good. And I haven't seen the first season of Narcos. John has, and so has Dan. Both recommend it very, very highly. The one thing I will say is there's quite a lot of violence in the clips that I've seen and the bits that I've seen. So if you're not into that, stay away. But it's getting very good reviews and very good ratings.
Okay, it's called Narcos Mexico.
Yeah.
It's 10 episodes.
10 episodes all
coming available on Netflix on Friday. Mm-hmm. What's this Origin YouTube?
Yeah, I just thought I'd give this a quick mention. It's from the producers of The Crown and Lost. And basically, it's about a load of passengers set in the future, a load of passengers who get stuck on a spaceship when they're trying to colonise a new planet, and they all have dark stories. But it's just to draw attention that YouTube now have their own channel called YouTube Premium. And it's another new thing that's kind of like Netflix and all these other channels where they're going to stream their own content. And this is the first big series that they've done. So I just think it'd be interesting if anyone's interested in looking at that. It's on YouTube from Friday.
Great to hear from Mick the Baldy Barber. Real people. I saw Blood. What a finish. Adrian Dunbar was brilliant. You're quite good to hear from you, Mick. I think he's in Cork. And I totally agree with you. Are you watching Taken Down? Mm. Yes, I watched the first two episodes Sunday night. What's with the chief police officer having an accent like a drug lord's moll? It's just not credible. Yeah, I'm not enjoying it.
I'm not enjoying it either. I'm really sorry to
like
say
you know I like love hate and Nidgee and all that. I really got into and you were on this. This is hard work.
It feels very
it's
forced.
Grim and it just there's something about it feels more like a polemic.
Yeah.
Than an entertainment program.
Like in Love Hate, when they had the car, when they went into the police story, it didn't work, and that's what's not working about this. It was better with the criminals.
And thanks to Paul and Cork, I also went to Widows on John's recommendation. Cheesy nonsense, trading on the fact that women starring in a traditionally male-dominated genres. It was purely awful. Thanks for that, Paul. We might be needing you to be
Mark,
our movie reviewer. Your TV movie is The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, I think Paul and Mark might like this then, if they think that.
Don't be so condescending about my listeners. An integral part of the program. Carry on.
This is a classic, I suppose, a modern classic, starring Gabriel Byrne and
Kevin Spacey. You can mention his name.
You can mention his name, and it's interesting. There is no way that they could surgically remove him or replace him from this movie because he's at the absolute centre of it, and he got an Oscar for it as well. So there'd be a bit of explaining.
Well, what's it about? The Usual Suspects. Well, Friday at 11:30 p.m.
It's a crime drama. To explain the plot we'd be here for another hour and long after Theresa May's news breaks. But it's actually incredibly complex and good.
Lots of twists, the movie was
voted as having the best plot twist since beating in fact three classic ones: The Sixth Sense, The Crying Game, and Witness for the Prosecution. And it's really good. It's really, really good. Great cast, as I mentioned, Gabriel Byrne and Kevin Spacey. You've also got Benicio del Toro and one of the Baldwins, Stephen Baldwin. And I think you'd like it, but you have to. There's a lot of chewing in it. There's a lot to digest. The director Brian Stringer, who made it, obviously, he said you can go back if you go a second time. I know you don't approve of this, but you can go back and see all sorts of things you didn't realise were there the first time. You get it the second time around.
Okay. Right. I'm just thinking that the fall in sterling will be nothing to the devalued currency of John's opinion on things after Widows. I don't know if he'll survive it. Another rake attack's giving him abuse. Thank you for those. It's good to get balanced opinion. My thanks to John Kelleher and Sue Murphy. They may or may not be back next Wednesday. I'm going to think about that with my huge team of editors, producers. Yeah. On the Morris McCabe Save Your Skin.